This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we talk about Apple's event happening Thursday, Google's Pixel devices are out to rave reviews, Dyn DNS got hit by a massive DDoS attack on Friday, and a new animation studio opens up in London, Ontario. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 91 for Sunday, October the 23rd, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Derek, another busy week in tech once again.
It was. It most certainly was. Especially Friday. So Friday got a little hairy there, which we'll get into
Friday
later.
Friday got busy. Exactly. So we're going to kick right into it. Leading off our news, as I previously said, I think I did call it. So once again, we're calling the stuff in. Once again, the Canadian Tech Podcast is calling the stuff in advance. Apple scheduled an event on October 27th, reportedly all about laptops. And this is basically because their laptop line's been a while before it's had any serious refresh. So we're hearing some rumors. I've been looking through some of the rumor sites, and the ones that tend to be a little bit more accurate are basically saying there's going to be a long-rumored MacBook Pro redesign with USB-C ports and the touch strip for the function keys being an OLED display. Probably using Intel Skylake-based processors. They'll get longer battery life, 2 terabyte solid-state drive, and a possible MagSafe like power adapter from either Apple or a third party. MacBook Airs, the one I'm really hoping for, looks like we might not see that, but we may see a 13-inch MacBook. So that's a slightly larger version than the 12-inch one that's now. Big problem's going to be the price point. The Air was still known as you could get a Mac for under $1,000. Mm-hmm. Now the other thing is that probably won't be announced here, and I know Derek, your boss, won't be happy about this, about displays or possibly news about new iMacs. We're probably going to see that in 2017. So again, keep in touch. We'll let you know what happens here. I was kind of looking forward to a new Air sometime next year. So hopefully we'll see something, anything here that might interest you, Derek?
Nope. I'll let the cat out of the bag and I'll do it here so that he can yell at me later. I upgraded my laptop to Mac OS Sierra. I only did it, even though nobody else is allowed to in the office, I only did it because I don't have a development environment on this machine. I'm not a developer at work, and I'm not doing any super serious testing right now with my own repo or a clone of the repo or anything like that on my machine. So I was like, you know what? I really need to be like testing Siri on the desktop and things like that so that I know what this stuff is like. And so that's how I justified it.
Okay. And how'd it go?
Actually, the upgrade worked fine, but I am noticing macOS Sierra is definitely buggier than the last version of Yosemite. I think, was it Yosemite?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That I had just upgraded from. Like the 3-finger up and down gesture to do like what expose it's called, right? Like show all your windows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My MacBook Pro got stuck when I accidentally did that earlier. And so I couldn't do anything. And I was like, whoa, what did I just do? Like, what just happened? So it took me a second. I was like, oh, maybe I'll try the expose gesture. And I got everything back the way it's supposed to be. And I couldn't reproduce it after that. I was like, oh, okay, this is that's a little weird. So I've run into weird little things like that. It's definitely a little buggy. So if you have a development environment with like Apache, MySQL, PHP, that sort of thing, or even .NET development or something like that, Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it yet.
Yeah,
I went through the pain for you just to find out how buggy it is, and it's buggy enough. It's buggy enough
Right.
that
Okay.
you'll notice if you're using it all day.
Right.
But anyway, no, not really. I mean, to be honest, we're probably going to get a MacBook here because my wife really wants one.
Right.
Through her computer like employee purchase program at work. Which is fine. It'll be for her. I really like my Linux desktop and I don't want Windows anymore. So it'll be nice to have a quote unquote mainstream OS in the house
Right.
once we get rid of that other Windows laptop. I'm sure in a year or two, or probably within the year because the battery is starting to suck pretty bad. But I really like the upgradability and the ability to switch OSs whenever I feel like and that sort of thing. And eventually when I buy a laptop, I'm probably going to buy a Mac or not a Mac, a Chromebook. I'm really liking some of the Chromebooks out there right now. They look pretty terrific. So like
Yeah,
the OLED touch strip will be really interesting because do you remember the Optimus keyboard?
I do indeed. I
Yeah,
do
what, eight,
indeed.
nine,
Yeah.
10 years ago,
Yep.
I always wanted one of those. It was like $500. I'm like, well, I'm not spending $500 or $400 on this keyboard. I can't justify that. But with the
Right.
news recently of Apple talking to a company from Australia called Sonder, who is making a e-ink driven keyboard, and they're going to be shipping that, I've heard, pretty soon, so that'll be interesting, and stuff like that. Yeah, the OLED touch strip instead of the escape to power button up at the top here of my MacBook, that'll be really interesting to see. But I don't use those buttons very often anyway, certainly not the way Apple wants me to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you know what? In the end, it's whatever tool works for you. Like, I have to admit, I've got my Windows PC here and I'm currently on it. I use it for gaming and that, but I've always liked the Mac just for a couple of reasons. It's just I find the OS a little bit more simple for a secondary laptop and the sleep mode. I close the lid, I open, and then I open it back up again, and it's reliable. Something I've yet to find in any Windows laptop, even the one I use for work. It's a brand new Windows laptop, and it still doesn't. It's just not as smooth, and that's one thing I really like about the Mac. And as I said, I've got this, 5-year-old MacBook that's still going strong. So, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we
All right.
will.
Also on the topic of Apple, joining the ranks of possible customer service PR nightmares. It's not just Samsung that's having problems. Now, granted, Apple's problem's a little bit less, pardon the pun, explosive. But they have a thing called touch disease, and this is affecting their 6s and their 6s's. What happens is, after a while, the touch screen decides to either not work at all or very intermittent. Now, the problem is Apple's really not doing a lot about it. They want to charge you like 400 plus bucks to replace the product, which really isn't good if your phone's only a year or two old. So yeah, the story recording is from the CBC, and they've got a couple of people they've been talking to about this, and some people are saying that yeah, probably Apple will do a fix once they truly know what the hell's going on. Yeah, one person thinks it's similar to the idea of Bendgate, where when the 6 and 6 Plus launched, people were complaining about it's susceptible to bending. So it's possible they're thinking maybe, there's a component that's separating or something like that. So yeah, it's kind of surprising because, Apple's always been really good about dealing with these problems, but they just haven't been there right now. So yeah,
Well,
I'm disappointed.
I will disagree that Apple is good with dealing with problems like this. I have seen over the years, this is one of the reasons why I never bought a Mac myself. Issues like this come up, mostly software related, where Apple just doesn't respond. And it is so clear from the hundreds or thousands of forum posts on Apple's community forums, and things like that, that it is a real problem. It is something Apple should fix. And they don't say anything. They don't respond to the posts. They don't fix it, or they quietly fix it and hope people stop talking about it. It's like, that is not the way to do this.
To run your business. Yeah. No, I agree.
And like, I know, I agree. Obviously, the iPhone 6 is, the iPhone in general is a runaway success. It's been huge for them. And so they probably feel like they can get away with it. Eventually, it will come around to bite them in the butt. Because right here in this story from CBC, there's someone who got really upset, or so upset that a woman last name Motawala, she's moved on. She's now using an Android smartphone now, and now she knows, I know I shouldn't spend too much money on phones. Well, that's always true.
That's a general thing.
But exactly. Like, there are going to be people who are not so embedded in the Apple ecosystem that they will leave.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, I just hope this lady didn't go with a Note 7.
No.
That would
anything really else would have been fine. Huawei, ZTE, Galaxy S7, LG G5, like pick one, just anything else.
Now, do you think this is a common case for, you know, major industry players? As you say, they think they get so big that they forget what got them there in the first place. And,
oh, definitely.
You know, we've seen this with other companies. So, yeah, hope, you know, maybe this might be something that Apple will actually deal with. But as you say, they make so much money, they make so much profit. You know, they piss a few people off. They don't seem to really care. But I found my own personal experience and some other people. Generally, I have found for some things, they are better than some places.
Yes.
You know, like I said, I've gone in with devices, you know, from either my mom or myself into the Genius Bar, and, you know, anywhere else would charge me for it. And they've, nope, no problem. Here it is. Here's the problem. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's always mixed, but it's something to keep an eye on. So hopefully we'll hear about it soon. I'm not going to be seeing my iPhone 7 Plus apparently until the third week of November. Because there is such a demand apparently for the 7 Plus. I think Apple thought they were going to sell more regular 7s than the Pluses, and it's the complete opposite. You can go to some sites which will track stock at the Apple stores, and most stores have 7s, but hardly anyone has 7 Pluses. And if they do, they're like 256 gig ones, which most people don't want.
Right. So,
yeah, that's so what I'm hearing.
Like, I was going to ask, which storage did you order?
I went for the 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I need, really. I couldn't really justify the going over and above the 128 or the 256. As I said, you can probably get yourself a nice rose gold plus in 256.
Yeah.
But that's huge amount of money. And I these days, with between ways to easily back up photos and videos and that, I don't need that sort of storage. I just don't. So
I will say, and we could talk about this more in a few seconds, but I'm debating getting, eventually when I do get a Google Pixel, because I'm pretty sure that's my new computer or my new phone. When I'm ready for that, is the 128 gig model.
Yeah, it depends what you're looking at in the price point. So yeah, I just looked and I went nuts. You know, just I couldn't justify it. So, you know what? Why don't we move up our story and we'll talk about the Google Pixel, because the Google Pixel has shipped. It's got some very positive reviews. I'll let you obviously know more about this than I will. So I'll let you take it away.
So I actually went through four different reviews of the Google Pixel and the Pixel XL. They are essentially the same phone, if you haven't heard, except for a different monitor or different display. The Google Pixel has a 1080p 5-inch display. The Google Pixel XL has a 5.5-inch 4K display. So otherwise, 4 gigs of RAM, same processor inside, 32 gigabyte and 128 gigabyte storage models, etc. Pretty much everything else is the same. Fingerprint on the back. So I went through four different reviews at Mobile Syrup, Android Central. I think I read, not Gizmodo. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I read two other ones, and very, very, very positive. The camera is great. Some still prefer the types of images that come out of the iPhone 7 or even the 6 Plus versus the Pixel. But it's more of a software thing at that point. It's like, oh, well, the colors were a little bit more saturated on the iPhone, on the iPhone's pictures, or little things like that that don't come down to the hardware anymore, which is great. It's really it's whatever Google's doing now inside the software, but far and away, much better photos and video than they thought it was going to be. I saw an example of the video image stabilization that's done with software. It's not optical. That was terrific. It was a gentleman walking around downtown Seattle, and it was really, really good. It was very good.
Excellent.
I actually went over to the Telus store Thursday night. Because I happen to be in the Masonville area, and I was like, "Oh, I got a few minutes. I'm gonna go to the Telus store and get my hands on a Pixel and a Pixel XL." So I got to hold both of them in my hands and play around with the camera a little bit and try out the Google Launcher and the Assistant and that sort of thing. The phone feels really, really nice in your hand. The Pixel at the 5-inch is a perfect size for my hands. I have tiny, Donald Trump hands. So apparently, I don't have very big hands. Simple
Okay.
as that. So, and that's okay. I don't really care. My Moto X, I think, is 5 or 5.2 inches, and it's perfect. So, so I wanted to see what it felt like, and they both felt really, really nice in your hand. 5.5 inch, just a little bit too big for me to use one-handed, which is a big
Right.
thing for me. I don't want to have both my hands on the phone at all times. If you want to use the fingerprint sensor, I think we all know I'm not going to. But if you do want to
Yes.
use it, it is in a very, very natural spot, much better than having to reach your thumb down over the home button on an iPhone. And I've been playing around with Allo so I could use the Google Assistant, and of course it's a little bit better on the Pixel, and I gotta say it's really, really nice. Round icons are nice, super, super fast. Oh my gosh, this thing is blazing. It's just ridiculous how fast this phone is. Like, the UI feels so, so snappy, especially compared to my iPad Mini 2 running iOS 10. Gosh, that thing feels so slow now.
Right.
So I know a lot of people don't like the price. I'm fine with the price. I think it's worth it. It's a great, great phone. And I don't really know what else to say. Do you have any questions, or
Did you
like
get a
what?
chance to? Well, the one thing that, again, that's one reason I'm looking at an iPhone 7 Plus over a 6 is the camera. Did you get a chance to play with the camera at all?
I did. The camera app's really nice. Has some cool features. The video mode. So, okay, I'll preface what I'm about to say with this. When I go through a store and I see TVs playing video at 60 frames a second, it freaks me out.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yep.
I genuinely feel like it makes the video look a lot more fake
Okay.
than it does at 30 frames or 32 frames. And maybe I'll get over it with time, because it seems like everything's going to 60 frames a second eventually, if not higher. But I don't like it. Now, however, if you do like it, or if you want to take video at 60 frames a second so you can slow it down and still have it look really natural, the camera on the Pixel does 60 frame per second video impeccably.
Right.
I took a couple of images because I was testing out the laser focus and that sort of thing. They all looked really, really good. And I did spend quite a bit of time looking at the comparison photos on Android Central's review, because they actually took a ton of pictures. One of the gentlemen who reviewed the phone was in Seattle. He was in China. He was in Germany, I think. He was in the UK with the phone. He was
Wow.
all over the world over like a week or two, and so he got a chance to take some really, really good shots, some low light shots, and they certainly looked much better than, not much better, but better than what my phone can produce now.
Right.
And no worse than anything else I've seen. So
That's good.
I know that some people have said that the low light is not quite as good as an iPhone 7. Okay. Like,
It
it.
depends what it depends how much you're going to use the light or whatever.
Well,
Again, it's the
exactly,
tool.
right? So if you're looking for great pictures of your kids on a vacation, well, it doesn't really matter. Like, or your kids or yourself. If you're going to take a selfie, you're going for good lighting anyway. So that doesn't really matter. But yeah, I thought everything looked really, really good. It's very polished. Android 7.1 feels fantastic. So, and I've seen ads everywhere. Like
Yes, I agree.
I was watching NFL football today. There's a 30-second ad. I was watching, I just happened to be live streaming something else, and there was another ad. And I'm seeing
Cool.
banner ads everywhere. So
Interesting.
certainly there's a big marketing push, and all three big carriers are carrying it up here in Canada. So I don't see why it wouldn't
Competition's
sell
good.
well. Yeah.
Yep, competition's good. Good to see. Exactly.
And then pair
Now,
that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
no, I was going to just finish up, and I was going to move on to a related story.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so as part of the launch, Google's and Best Buy are teaming up to open 14 Google shops across Canada. So kind of similar to the little kiosk concept we've seen for from other suppliers. However, I'm going to get my popcorn out because you're about to hear a Derek rant. None in London, Derek.
Not even none in London, just like a lot of obvious cities missing from this initial list. And so I have to
Exactly.
feel like these stores were simply due for a refresh at some, regardless of what happened, because the initial 10 stores that have opened today, that opened on the 20th, 3 days ago, are in Brampton, Winnipeg, St. Catharines, Ontario, Edmonton, Nepean, Oakville, Etobicoke, Coquitlam, Surrey, and Burnaby.
Maybe a lot of people have bought Google phones there or Android
What?
phones.
No.
I don't
Well,
know.
no, that's not it. It can't be. No, honestly, we have at Olio, we have a lot of retail clients. So I have a feeling that this is simply, these were the stores that could be done first, or these were the stores that were due for a refresh, or these were the easiest ones to set up new planograms and move some
Yeah,
things
that's what I
around or
think.
something like that. These were prime candidates because they could be done first. That was really it. But it is an odd list. I mean, okay, Winnipeg, that's the place to go in Manitoba, obviously. Edmonton, that's cool. Lesser extent, Oakville. But then it's like Coquitlam, Surrey, and Burnaby. Okay, so no Vancouver yet or Victoria. St. Catharines and
Now,
Brampton and Oakville and Etobicoke, no Mississauga, no Toronto. I know those are
actually,
coming.
yeah, I just drilled down to the press release, and you're right about they're newly renovated. Best Buy announced Thursday a new collaboration, the first of its kind, that'll bring 14 Google shops to their newly renovated experience stores.
There we go.
So there we go. There we go. And
I guess right.
we thought it's because people in London don't shop at Best Buy.
Well, they don't.
They don't. I know. You go in there, it's dead quiet. London, yeah.
It's really
We
quiet.
shouldn't say that. We shouldn't
Why?
say that about a
Hey,
fine Canadian institution.
what? What are
Nothing.
you on
You
about?
didn't hear the smirk
I did. I
at the end.
did. I did. I just, every time I've walked into Best Buy, unless it's Christmas time, there's not a lot of people in there. And yeah, I mean, they're still open. There's still two in London. And there's, I was actually just in Kitchener the other day. I passed one there. So they're around. They're still open. I mean, they killed off Future Shops, so surely to goodness they have to keep the Best Buys around. At least most of
Well,
them.
exactly. Well,
But
people want cheap TVs, but again, we could
they're
do a
not
whole
that
show on.
cheap.
I know we could go through a whole show on the retail versus online experience, but that
Yeah,
would take
let's
a
not.
whole other show. So, all right. Should I put my popcorn away now?
Yes, but I was going to say, so on the flip side of Google and Best Buy teaming up to sell things in Best Buy, Samsung to help
Yes.
deal with the influx of Note 7s that hopefully have not exploded. They have been setting up kiosks all over North America in airports. That's actually pretty smart because you're not allowed to fly with this plane anymore. So they've gone ahead and set up kiosks in Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal to accept planes and presumably give out exchanged devices before you hop on your flight that you don't want your phone to catch fire on.
Exactly. Now, apparently they have said second recall, 70% of Note 7 sold in Canada have been returned. There was 39,000 sold. There were 4 reports of phone batteries overheating and 1 owner indicating a minor burn injury to their forearm. You know, I think it's really good that they're willing to do this, but at the same time, why would you wait until you're on the way to the airport to do this? Like, I'd be really nervous if, like, you're late getting to the airport and then you were counting on having some time to do this swap. You know, I think it's a good idea, but I wouldn't be one of these people. I would be already have taken care of that, you know.
But me too, especially.
It's a good idea.
Given the circumstances, I definitely would have as well. But, you know, people forget. People get busy.
People are busy, yeah.
I just want to say, and I think this is the perfect note to end this story on, when I read minor burn injury, the first thing I thought that said was minor bum injury. And then I reread it. No, you can't have a bum injury to your forearm. What's going on? Oh, burn.
Burn. He could have had it in his back pocket.
Well, yeah, that's why. But I thought that would have been kind of funny if it actually said minor bum injury.
Minor bum injury. Exactly. So,
so go to Pearson Airport. Or yes. Mirabel, or whatever Vancouver's is called, and exchange your phone if need be.
Yeah, and if you're flying out of London or any other small center, you're screwed.
Leave it at home. Go to Best Buy.
Go to Best Buy. They'll be happy to exchange it for you. All right, we're now going to talk about a word from our sponsor, our good friends at Olio, with another awesome pre-recorded ad. I'm sure Derek is going to do an awesome job at this one as well. So we're going to hear it right now.
Hi folks, Derek breaking in here with an ad for our sponsor, Olio Digital Labs. Do you have an idea for a mobile app, a problem that needs solving, or disparate pieces of software that need to speak to each other? The team at Olio Digital Labs is here to help. Olio are the planners, designers, and builders behind the solutions used by some of Canada's biggest brands, and they can also help you. Olio offers custom mobile and web applications, websites, and platforms. To find out how Olio can help you, call 226-785-0420, email derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com to learn more about the company and its services. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. Another awesome ad. Olio's doing lots of cool things. Don't forget, if you need anything that they do, they will be glad to help you at the Information Derek Cave.
Absolutely.
All right. Another thing for a busy Friday. We had a major DDoS attack. This one's a little bit different because instead of just targeting one particular site, it targeted a major DNS provider. So that meant, particularly on the East Coast, depending where people were coming in from, they couldn't reach sites like Twitter and, you know, Dig and a lot of these stuff like that. Now, this is what's interesting, Derek. What I noticed is that where I work, our internet comes via Winnipeg. So Twitter was fine.
Yep.
But if I, let's say, dialed into the house here, I couldn't get Twitter. So it just shows you how hit and miss it was for some people.
Right.
But this is kind of scary because more and more, you know, this is still a major fault, you know, area where they just have to hit these. They don't have to worry about hitting specific sites anymore. They just have to hurt the DNS providers. And this needs to be addressed, doesn't it? Now, again, you run a hosting company. You're very familiar with this. What are your comments on this?
For once, I was very happy to be running my own DNS servers and not relying on Dyn DNS. That was I was really happy about that. So that was nice on Friday. Obviously, I checked things over just to make sure we were okay and we were fine. Ultimately, I don't think I was affected at all while I was at work or at home.
Right.
I At work, we use ExecuLink right now, and DNS was fine there. Well, actually, we have our own internal DNS, so that was probably one reason why we were fine. But ExecuLink runs their own name servers as well, so they weren't relying on Dyn. And their cache either didn't refresh during the day, and therefore I wasn't having any issues, or
Right.
yeah, so it was, I was ultimately unaffected. Now, I feel I have total empathy for Dyn and their team there trying to deal with this, and all the sites affected. I'm starting to get the feeling, especially after hearing a couple of other conversations, that this could potentially be a government-backed group, potentially Chinese or Russian or Iranian, that's testing out just what they can do with the new Mirai malware to set up a botnet across Internet of Things, non-computer, desktop computer type devices that are connected to the internet, like digital video recorders, DVRs, webcams, light bulbs, fridges, that sort of thing.
And I think that's where a lot of the real problem is. You've got
Yeah.
these devices, there's no way to update. And
Well, there is, but it's literally incumbent. Well, I can't say for sure. Roku, for instance, could definitely be affected by this. If they have, according to some, it looks like all the equipment involved. Oh, it's not here on the Popular Mechanics story. It was sold from a Chinese company who's an original design manufacturer. They sell like a network card or something like that to other manufacturers, and they use that network card, for instance, or a CPU or something like that in the actual device that they sell to the customers. So like they make a NIC, a network interface card. They sell it to, let's say, the guys who make my security camera, Izon. Izon puts that. Well, I guess that'd be a Wi-Fi network, but regardless, a wireless NIC to Izon puts it in their device, and that NIC has a wireless NIC has, for some stupid reason, a backdoor into the firmware, and that's being infected with malware. Why on earth there's a backdoor there in the first place, I have no idea. And this should be a warning to any government official who thinks it's a great idea to put in backdoors that only the government can access. Never gonna happen. That's not how these things work. You put in a backdoor, somebody else will find it. And this is exactly what happens. You get crazy types of attacks like this, where Dyn's dealing with like probably over a terabit per second of DNS requests that go unresponded to. So like the malware says, hey, how are you? And Dyn servers go, good, what do you need? And the malicious device never responds. And so that connection stays open for potentially up to 5 minutes or even longer, depending on how Dyn has it set up. It's probably shorter. It's probably like a minute or two. But regardless, that's a minute or two that virtual port at Dyn can't respond to any other requests. So once you've sent a billion or a million, 25 million, 100 million of those requests in a minute, well, what do you know? Things start to break. So it's crazy, and I tweeted earlier, and sorry, I'll let you say whichever you
Yep,
want to
go
say
ahead.
next, but I'm gonna let you finish. But first, I tweeted the other day that like this sort of thing has to stop. Every device manufacturer needs to start taking security very, very seriously. What I was gonna say earlier about my Roku is that my Roku automatically checks for updates. It's relatively easy to set up a device to go ping home and say, hey, do you got anything for me? And the server says, yeah, here's a new what version are you running now? I'm running this version. Okay, I've got a new version for you here. Download it, install it, and it goes. And so I'll launch my Roku at 7 o'clock in the morning or later at night, and it's updated automatically. It restarts itself and everything. There's no reason why that can't happen on these little webcams, IP cameras, DVRs, etc., to nullify this vulnerability that is a gaping hole and right. causing massive, massive issues right now.
I think something else that some of these companies like Twitter and some of these major sites should also do is subscribe to more than one DNS management service. You know, do some DNS redundancies.
That's not easy.
You know, there is some, I know, but there is some sites, apparently, according to Gizmodo, some sites like Pornhub survive the intact unscathed because they have multiple.
Hey, if Pornhub goes down, then the internet might as well not exist. Like,
yep. Yeah, but you know, they there was a thing under Hacker News, and they pointed out how they use DYN, but they also use Ultra DNS. They use a couple of different ones. So
it's definitely doable. There are some sites. Yeah. Cloudflare sent out a message to partners like CleverHost, saying that if you have any customers who have a partial zone, something or other. You should let them know because, they might be using Dyn DNS for the other half and all we're handing is the A record and blah, blah, blah. And therefore, they could be affected by this attack. I don't know anybody at CleverHost that has a complicated setup like that. So I didn't bother passing the message along. But certainly larger organizations could absolutely be using Dyn and Cloudflare and Akamai. And some content delivery, multiple content delivery networks, right? Like it's certainly happening. But personally, I don't know anybody who's has any sort of
nothing that complex.
It's
another option. But yeah, we definitely need to strengthen these and things, especially these devices. They don't need backdoors.
No.
Okay, let's move on to something a little bit happier. A new car company.
Yeah.
Link and Co. This is a venture from Volvo and a Chinese manufacturer, if I recall. Is your story? The Geely, car looks nice.
Yeah, Geely bought Volvo from Ford a few years ago.
Yes.
Ford Motor Company. And Geely decided, you know what? Let's let some auto industry vets hire a ton of young people and let them start over from scratch. Build a car company and build a car without having to worry about the Volvo brand or any other brand for that matter or anything like that. And just let them have at it. And so Alan Visser, he's been at GM, Ford, Chrysler, I think, obviously Volvo now. He was given the reins to start Link & Co. Link spelled with a Y. And Vlad Savov from The Verge got a chance to sit down and talk to Visser get an insight into the rest of the leadership team and what they're doing there. And basically, there are a few things here that Link wants to do really, really differently. One is direct-to-consumer distribution, no dealerships, similar to Tesla. They will certainly have some trouble in some areas of the world with that, but for the most part, they'll be fine. An app store for the car with open APIs so that users and developers can all get involved. That's pretty neat. Mobile apps to let you manage your car remotely and share it. I like this. And share it by distributing digital keys to your family members or trusted friends. That's cool. Hey, Dad, you want to borrow my car? No problem. Just download the app. I'll send you an email.
Just better be secure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it should be restricted to the apps themselves, and you should have to authenticate and all that. And then a web interface for everything, all the above, and that'll include an online store with pared down fixed pricing tiers that eliminate the haggling involved in what usually happens when you buy a car.
I like that.
Yeah, well, on the one hand, yes. On the second hand, I hope that means then that, the commission that would go to the dealership and the commission that would go to the car salesperson and all that, then that's just cut out, right? Obviously, they still need to make some money, but I hope then they're not taking all that extra money that would be given to the dealership or like the dealership's cut and the salesperson's cut. Get rid of all that. And just give me the dealer the price that the dealer would normally pay the manufacturer for the car, then yes, right. I'm totally fine with that. But essentially, this is a somewhat long read, but they go really in depth here on the design, the engineering, and
it's a nice looking SUV.
And yeah, so the first vehicle is called the 01 SUV, kind of a weird name, but Tesla Model S, Model X, Model 3, like who cares? Infiniti always has really, really weird names as well, and so does Lexus. So, 01 SUV is right up there. And yeah, it's really, really cool. That didn't see a launch date in here.
I think I saw 2018, including Canada. I drilled down a bit more. So
Oh,
I
that's right.
think I
You
saw
found another
20,
link. Yeah.
2017 China, and then
Makes
followed in the
sense.
US and Europe. And I think I read somewhere 2018, which is, they said US, but that will probably include Canada.
Probably, yeah. The Tesla's not having any issues here, or at least not as many issues with dealerships throwing their hands in the air and being like, "Oh, whoa, you're cutting us out," or anything like that. So,
Yep. Exactly.
yeah,
So,
it's
all
a good
right.
read. You should check it out if you're interested in a fairly new car company. Yes, it's coming from an existing resources that have been thrown at it, but yeah, it should definitely be different.
Moving on to our local story, a British Columbia-based animation studio recently announced they're expanding to London. They're going to create 8 jobs, Brawn Animation. They're based out of BC. What's kind of neat about this is the president and CEO, Aaron Gilbert, originally hailed from London. And Chris Pearn, another London native, he's going to be managing the office, and him and his family wanted to come back here. So, yeah, it's another good news. There's quite a few agencies here and digital sort of media and stuff like that. So, yeah, apparently, according to the LEDC, there is over 300 companies in the digital creative sector in the in London and area. A very diverse sector, which over 40 are involved directly with multimedia productions. So, yeah, this is actually really, really good. Again, 8 more jobs, apparently up to 2,000 have been created in the area in the last year. So, good news all around.
Yep.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. I don't know anybody who works in this space, so I can't be like,
All
hey,
right.
good for you. I mean, Chris Pearn, I will say, has quite the, and so, and Aaron Gilbert as well, both have quite the pedigrees. Between
They
them, they've
do.
worked on The Birth of a Nation, Welcome to Me, Special Correspondence, Shaun the Sheep, Pirates, Band of Misfits, Arthur Christmas, Home, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. I mean, like a lot of kids' movies that I've seen in the last few years. Special
This explains
Correspondence,
why
I
I
have
haven't heard
not.
other than Shaun the Sheep, which my wife loves. Yeah, I don't see a lot of those kids' movies. But you have
Surf's
kids,
Up.
so that's the difference.
Yeah, I got two kids. Open Season is I think it's actually based in Canada. Surf's Up is a movie about surfing penguins.
Hey, there you
So
go.
yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, good for them. Like I said, welcome to London if they're
Yeah.
listening to us. Love to see if they have a Twitter account and do a shout out. Shout out to them.
Sure.
Maybe we can get them on the show one day.
Maybe.
All right. Stuff we like. In combination of Apple's announcement, the Apple announcement, you can all thank me because that's because I finally decided to upgrade. I got tired of waiting and upgraded my old MacBook's RAM from 4 gig to 8 gig. I've got a 2011 MacBook Pro, and for about $70, I doubled the RAM, and man, it makes quite a bit of difference. So
I
it's
can't
all.
believe you were stuttering along with 4 gigs still.
I know. Well, again, the problem thing was is I was thinking, oh, I'll be able to afford a new MacBook and hopefully they'll be out soon. And then, life happens and you realize you've got a couple of things you got to spend first. And you know what? The old girl is still going quite well. So
Yeah.
I can't really complain. And yeah, it's definitely brought a lot of life back into it. One thing I've noticed is Chrome lately, the last three iterations, has become a bit of a memory hog. So hopefully they solve that soon. I threw a memory monitor on it and it just sucks up the RAM.
Yeah, it
So
does.
I have noticed a difference there. And yeah, that'll give me another year or 2 out of it. I've already got a hybrid drive installed in it. I did that a few years ago, which makes quite a bit of difference. I did debate when I had the case open when I was going to go shopping. Oh, I could put an SSD in, but I decided to be good for now. But yeah, the prices have dropped there too as well. So it's something to definitely look at if you're wanting to hold off for a while. All right, what have you got this week? Something called Chef. Are you cooking a supper?
This is hashtag DevOps, super
Okay.
trendy stuff. Chef is it's a tool to help you automate the deployment of new servers, essentially.
Nice.
So at its core, Chef primarily is used to basically like you build like a template server. So especially in my world, I would if I wasn't using cPanel to do all this for me, I would get a new server up and running with Ubuntu or CentOS or something like that. I'd install Apache and I would install MySQL and well, I'd MariaDB. I'd install PHP. I'd configure everything to work together, et cetera, and so on. And that's actually really time consuming if you're doing it by hand. And certainly that's ideal. And even if you use something like cPanel or Webmin to automate the installation, you still got to tune everything the way you want it to. And so Chef basically lets you do that once. And then the next time you need to do it, you literally type in a short command like chef-c cookbook, whatever you called it. So your cookbook is made up of recipes. Your recipes are the actual applications that you're using in there. So like Apache, recipe for that, a recipe for PHP, a recipe for MySQL, MariaDB, and then they become part of your cookbook. And once you've configured your cookbook, you can share that cookbook with any other server you want. And so you configure it all once, and so that could take a couple hours, but then it's a highly repeatable process after that.
Right.
And so you go to the new server and you're like, okay, I need Chef on here. So you install Chef, you point it at your repo, your repository, wherever that is. It could be on one of your own servers, it could be on GitHub, it could be on you could be using Chef's public repo, and then you download the cookbook and you run it or you compile it. That takes like less than a minute, and you're done.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God, I just saved myself 2 hours of looking
You're a
up green
happy camper.
screen. Yeah. So yeah, so I've been picking up Chef lately, been running through some tutorials, just trying to keep myself on the ball, and I haven't done a whole lot here lately, so I wanted to see what was up. And
It kind of reminds
yeah.
me of some of the workstation automated tools I used years ago, Unicenter, or even the Microsoft world server admins will use System Center and that just to
Yeah.
essentially make an automated build. Particularly if you're in an environment where you're pumping these things out, they can save so much time. In the workstation side in Windows, I use some. It's a bit more manual. You can get an automated one. NiNight will do the same thing post Windows install.
Right.
But this basically takes it even down to the core OS. And as you say, it can just save you a ton of time. Even the number of mouse clicks in terms of the Windows side, or saying, "Do you want to do this? Yes. Do you want to do this? Yes. Are you sure?" It looks like an excellent product.
And there's a free
Okay.
version that I think you can use up to 10 nodes,
That's all
which is
right.
basically 10 computers that you're running Chef commands on. And beyond that, I mean, if you got more than 10 servers,
You
you're
should be.
probably yeah. And actually, I'm just looking at here now. They actually do it differently. So Chef Basics is free, and so you can use Chef Client Server and what's this called? The DK, the development kit.
Right.
There's quote unquote supermarket content, which means I think the public repo. And then you do get 30 days of support, 8x5, so 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. If you want hosted Chef, that's $72 per node. If you want Chef Automate, that's $137 per node per year, not monthly.
Right.
And then you get more stuff. You get
Right.
more, they'll host your Chef repo for you. Chef Automate gives you workflow stuff, compliance, visibility, high availability, 24/7 support, et cetera, so on. And really, $137 a year per node, US is actually pretty decent. So,
Yep.
so actually, I can, as long as I'm okay not getting support beyond 30 days, I'm okay. Using
That's
Chef
right.
Basics. So, yeah, I'm perfectly happy with the community version essentially of Chef. And I've got, and I will just say, you just reminded me of something with was about Google Chrome being such a memory hog. I remember another, this is another macOS Sierra bug. I'll try to keep it quick. Somebody was posting recently, I think it was on Twitter, about how their CPU usage was 130%. And
Interesting.
it turns out Safari was just killing the battery and killing the CPU, and so they killed Safari. And then another, oh, iTunes was also using like 105% CPU. And they're like, well, first of all, either this is wrong or Apple needs to learn how to do math. But basically, and so
It
they
was
shut down.
overclocking, really.
So they shut down Safari and then they shut down iTunes, and all of a sudden all their problems were gone. So the lesson that they learned was that you shouldn't use Apple software on Apple devices.
I also tell people I always wait for the version 0.1 to come out.
Yeah,
I
I
always
probably
wait for
should
the
have,
first bug
but
fix.
you know,
I
I want
tend to do that
to.
with almost anything. No, why not? I've been tempted to take. I had this MacBook because you would have been running El Capitan.
Right, El
I'm actually a
Capitan,
pre
yeah.
I'm have I'm actually a previous version back on the old MacBook, and I'm kind of half tempted to, but we'll see what happens.
I'm really
But yeah.
sorry. Everybody just missed about 10 words that you said because I hit the Siri button and it just cut everything out. So
Did you
sorry.
hit the Siri button? That's all right. Well, I was going to say I'm actually two versions back on the Mac myself,
So you're
so
on
I've been kind of half
Yosemite.
tempted to try it. Yeah, I'm on Yosemite,
Yeah.
and you were on El Capitan.
I
So,
was,
but
yeah.
again, we'll just have to teach people.
You
Keep
mean.
your fingers away from that Siri button, Derek.
So I you honestly, the names are ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
Mavericks, Yosemite, El
It's all surfing
Capitan.
sites.
El
That's what they
Capitan
say.
is
It's
not a
all.
surfing site. You do not
Well,
surf off a cliff, I hope.
it's a location, apparently.
It
I
is
don't
a
know, but
location in
apparently it was
California,
surfing.
yes. The
I thought it had something to do with surfing.
Mavericks did, yes.
Okay,
The
so
Mavericks
there you
is a spot where people surf, but El Capitan and Yosemite are not surfing spots.
go. Or if you do, you're going to be surfing for a real short period.
Yes, yeah. Well, you can go surfing in the Sierra Nevada desert, maybe land
Yeah,
surfing with some wheels,
land surfing.
kite
There you go.
boarding. You can go kite
Kiteboard
boarding
surf.
across the desert with some wheels, sure.
Right.
But definitely not off the cliff at El Capitan.
I'm
You could
not
go kite board or not
worthy.
kite boarding. You could go hang gliding. There you
Hang
go.
gliding. There you go. All right. So we're almost done here. What am I up to lately? Obviously, the MacBook upgrade. We did a big DR test this week at work, which is always fun and very
How'd that
time
go?
consuming. So I've been doing that. It went well, from what I know. We're going to do a debrief this week. It's a very large affair compared to the stuff I've done before. A lot of different players involved. So, yeah, it seemed to go well. But yeah, a lot of I have a lot. I have several pages of notes. I was more, instead of being involved in the DR itself, I was more covering everyone else off on all the day-to-day stuff. So
Right.
it kept things busy. But I have several pages of notes, so we'll have to digest that later. What else? I had a little bit of time. I still build my model kit, so doing my channel there, blackfire.ca, my video builds of models and stuff like that to get away from all this technology. I do that. So, exactly. All right. What about you?
I've been spending a lot more time on Twitter lately, tweeting stuff from at Derek Silva, at TechPodcast underscore CA, at CleverHost, at Oldio Digital Labs, a few other accounts. I'm responsible for like 10% of Twitter's tweets at
Careful, people will start blaming you.
point. Something like that. Yes, yeah. You're the only reason there's still over 300 million active users. Yeah, I've got a million of those.
Exactly.
It's all me.
But no, and I know one of the tools you've been using is one I've used for years and I've recommended, which is Buffer app.
Yeah, Buffer's great. It's really nice because I don't want to automate things happening like in the middle of the night. I'm not awake, and so I don't do that. I don't tweet stuff automatically in the middle of the night. But I do tweet stuff, and it's mostly either useful or a little self-promotional or questions and that sort of thing. The only problem with Buffer is I can't I can't set up polls and things like that, unfortunately.
No, that's true. No, it's
so
more just for
I have to
scheduling
do,
stuff out.
yeah. So, but I can really easily share links, and so I've got Buffer on my phone. I've got it running in Firefox for CleverHost. I've got it running in Chrome for Olio. So, yeah, it's got it everywhere, or I've got it in a bunch of different places right now.
Awesome. So what's happening with your European venture? Anything more on that?
I haven't done anything with that recently. I've been trying to take a break at night from all
Good.
The
Yeah.
extra non-9-to-5 work.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to get overwhelmed. So
Yeah. So yeah, actually, I will say I'm taking over the curation of a site for a CMS that I've gotten really excited about lately.
Okay.
Some other folks, another design agency. Well, they were running it, but they're actually getting out of the business, and so they've been looking for a new owner of the site, and they don't want any money for it, which is nice. And they just want to make sure it goes somewhere decent, and I was like, that's exactly what I want. That's what I want to do. So
Perfect.
As soon as I can, I will actually announce that I've taken ownership, because
right.
I don't
right.
have anything yet. But they did say just give them a few days, and they'll get everything together for me. So
awesome
hopefully
news.
Soon... I'll be able to put my name on that as well.
Perfect. Okay, so that's it for this week. So once again, don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcasts. Retweet us. We're on Twitter, obviously. We're also on Facebook and Google+, or even go old school and just tell a friend about us. You can follow and like our page on Facebook. Send us an email at contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca if you have any story ideas or any comments, thoughts, or whatever. So I think that's about it, Derek. We're going to close this off now. Any last minute notes?
Nope, I'm good.
Awesome. All right. So for episode 91, for October 23rd, 2016, my name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.